Morning to each one, and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a blessing to be here and to listen to the inspiration that each one of you brought with you this morning. I was blessed by the devotional this morning and the songs. The songs that we sang, Perfectly Broken, is one of my old favorites. I actually think I learned it when I was in the youth group. But that idea of being perfectly broken, something that only God can do in our lives, something that only God will do if we ask Him. Thank you for your prayers this morning, and I ask that you continue to pray for us as leadership. One of the things that I thought about, and I had a brother just share this recently with me, and I'm often reminded of this, that often those that stand up front, whether it's Sunday school teacher or devotional leader or preacher, seems like soon after you give the message, you're tested. And sometimes you're tested quite hard on the subject that you just share. And It's sometimes easy to allow fear to come into your heart when you speak on a subject that is tough. And you don't want to because you know that you'll probably be tested. And I don't want to be a person that lives in fear. And I hope this message this morning can be an encouragement. It is a message that I needed very much. I was led to this a couple weeks ago. I was listening to another brother preach, and he just mentioned what I'm going to preach about. He went quite a bit a different direction than I did. And yet I was inspired by part of his message. And so I began to study. And as I studied, I realized just how much I needed this message as well. And not just I, but I believe the human race needs it. Everybody in the world needs this message, needs to think about it. The title this morning is The Royal Law. Can anyone tell me what the royal law is? Or another question is, do you know what scripture it's referred to in this way? I know when it was first presented to me, I knew it was in the Bible, but I had to scramble and think. I couldn't think where it was. You can turn to James chapter 2, and we will find what the royal law is here. James chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 9 verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So this is the royal law. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'd like to think about that this morning for a while. We're going to think about the first part of the verse, first several verses here, as James talks about people. And he is referring to a visitor coming to church, coming to your assembly. And I had to think about that in our settings today. as visitors come into church, how it's not necessarily how we treat them right up front, but it begins right here in our heads with our thought process. How do we look at them and how do we think about them? And in our words today, you know, if we see that well-dressed person come in, we want him to have a good seat, maybe sit up towards the front. Or maybe if we don't like that person, or if we perceive in our minds, we tell them to sit in the back, or maybe vice versa. Maybe we put those that we don't like very well up front. However you want to work it in your mind. But what is our thought process when the visitors walk through the door? This does not stop with just visitors. It has to do with each other as well, as a brotherhood. And as we think about society around us, we can't categorize everyone in one box, but generally speaking, those that are wealthy tend to oppress us. Think about the wealthy around us. And those that have significantly amount more of money than us, are they the ones that really stop and consider God? You think about the children of Israel and even our own lives. When we become very set with wealth, we tend not to think of God as needing God as much as we should. And I believe that's why James is cautioning against being a respecter of person to a certain degree. But there's a much deeper reason why he talks about being a respecter of persons. And as you look generally at society, those that are poor, those that struggle to make a living, and I find it in my own life, I become more dependent on God. And you look at the children of Israel, when they were in times of trouble, that is when they renewed their faith in God. This takes us to verse 4. And I'd like to read to you what the NIV, how the NIV reads it. Have ye not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What is he trying to say there in verse 4? Discriminate. That's a pretty common word that we hear today. You walk into places of business and they have I know of a couple businesses that have a poster on the wall that talks about that they will not discriminate against gender, religion. I forget what all the list is. And here he's talking about us discriminating against other people. And we become judges with evil thoughts. I want to introduce to you another word that in light of the English language is actually a fairly new word, although to me, the 1930s is a long time ago. But this word came around that time, and it was Nazi Germany that introduced it along with their ideology, and that is racism. Do you have any know the definition of racism? And you might be wondering, where is this message going? But I will get to the royal law after a while. Just going to take a while to get there. I thought I had a pretty good understanding of it, but when I went to my dictionary, it was not quite what I thought it was. The first definition is the notion that one's own ethnic stock is superior. Prejudice or discrimination based on racism. There's that word, discrimination. And let's think about how the NIV put it, discrimination among yourselves. Does it sound like a godly person to discriminate and to set up different levels? Now, I thought about it, putting it in my own words. Some of those, that first definition there had some pretty fancy words, but one might as well say the notion that one's own self is superior rather than ethnic stock. One's own self fits right in for this farmer. Let's take another step backward to the root word, race. What is race? I think the dictionary had six definitions. There's only four that I really wanted to bring out. A local, geographic or global human population distinguished as more or less a distinct group by genetically transmitted physical characters. That's a lot of big words that I stumbled over. A local, geographic, or global human population distinguished as more or less a distinct group by genetically transmitted physical characteristics. How do we explain that? We could say the Hispanics are a race, and we could say the white people are a race, and we could say the black people are a race. I think that's what that definition is trying to say. Definition two is humanity as a whole. Definition three, a group of people united or classified together on the basis of their common history, nationality, or geographical distribution. A lot like the first definition. The number four is a genealogical line, or your lineage, your family. I see the word race as a Christian looking at the word race. Definition number two is what we go by. It's humanity as a whole. God made one race, one people. And I guess maybe I should have wrote down the other two, because it referred to animals, different races of animals. You have your species, and within that species you have different races. And so when humans become judges of their own evil thoughts, they take and look at humanity as we're a species, and within that species there's different races. And that's where racism comes from then. You take humanity, it's a species, you go with Darwin's theory of we come from this cell and we evolved and evolved and evolved, and certain races of people are not evolved as far as others. And you throw God out of the picture and you become judges of your own evil thoughts. And as we look at verse 4, when we do what James is saying, we are saying that according to our judgment, that this person is more or less who we make them. And it doesn't just stop with riches. We can look at people and say, well, he doesn't have a Mennonite background. We don't know who his father is. They don't fit in here. Their parents had marriage problems, and the list is endless that we could categorize people. And I always thought that racism was out in the world. But as I looked at my own life and as I considered my own thoughts, racism is carnal nature. It is respect of persons coming up. James didn't have the word racism, but I think if he would have had it, he would have used it here. Racism is essentially pride. We lift or put people down, either direction. And when we do that, we try to usurp the position of Creator and build our own humanity. And I take that from Darwin's thinking. He tried to build his own humanity by categorizing humanity and trying to make different races, different levels of people. The Nazis did that. There's people doing that today. Problem doesn't lie in Mennonites or any group of persons. Rather, it is a problem that all Christians need to crucify and live the royal law. And right on top of that, I cannot live the royal law on my own strength. You can try, but you probably won't be able to do it for very long. It takes the Spirit of Christ dwelling in me and filling me with His love. It takes death to myself to get rid of my pride. My self-preservation in my life is to be for the honor and glory of of Jesus Christ. All right, let's think about this royal law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we love thy neighbor as ourselves? You know, really, we make ourselves the best judges on this. As we question it, how we think about it, how do I love my neighbor as myself? And as I thought about it, it almost took reverse thinking. I think that's the right way to put it. Or an easier way to put it is put the shoe on the other foot and think about it that way. And I started listing things, events in the world that are happening around us. And I started to think about it. And I'll probably end up in the church with this list. I don't have a lot. But as we think about things that are going on, and it may help us to answer questions as people come to us from the community and ask us about the riots and the protests and what the government is doing. It helped me to put in perspective what my answer would be. I just had to think. You know, in the George Floyd case, as I thought about that, would I like someone to kneel on my neck till I died? Well, no, I wouldn't. So why would I do it to someone else? If I owned a store, a couple of you own stores, would I like people to come in and smash it to pieces and steal things out of it? And as you're thinking about answering the community these questions, maybe you can present it to them in that way. As maybe somebody comes in and they're saying, you know, the protesters and the rioters are getting the attention of the nation. Well, turn it around. If you owned a store, would you want somebody come do that to you? Would I like people camped in my front lawn shouting at me? No, I wouldn't. Occasionally the neighbors turn the music up pretty loud, and I can hear them from my house. Sometimes they're down at the park in Columbus, and I can hear them from my house. It doesn't usually bother me, but as I think about it, what if somebody was right in my front yard protesting? Would I like that? Well, no, I wouldn't. What about when they block the streets? Would I like it if people block the streets and I was just trying to go about my business? Or maybe I even had a medical emergency. Let's get a little closer home. In the world of technology, with WhatsApp, Facebook, emails, would I like people forwarding messages about me, the things that I said, but they're taken out of context and twisted, and now they imply something I never intended? That happens so much in the world around us. And sad to say, it sometimes happens right here among us. And as I think about doing that, as I think about forwarding some messages, my biggest problem in this whole thing of loving thy neighbor as myself is I tend to speak and do actions before I stop and think about, would I like it if they did it to me? As I think about some of those messages that I received and I was tempted to forward on, or maybe it wasn't even messages, maybe it was information coming into my ears, and then I would go over here and talk about it over here. Would I like it if somebody did that to me? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Would I like people talking about me? I sort of touched on this. Would I like people talking about me the way I just shared to you about someone else's problems or shortcomings? You know, human nature thrives on talking about people's problems. We love to do that. But we hate it when people do it about us. There's many more things we could list, but I'll stop with this. I like people to be friendly and respect me, to do nice things for me, to show that they care, to give encouragement. And as I thought about all that, I just stopped in my life and pondered, when was the last time I did any of that on that list? When was the last time I showed somebody that I cared? When was the time that I gave encouragement? You know, if I want my neighbor to treat me respectfully, then I need to in turn treat him respectfully. And I must confess that there are plenty of times that I could have done much better than what I have in the past. Now let's move down to verse 9. This is a verse that I really needed to consider. This I believe takes it to a whole new level. But if you have respect to person to persons. If ye have racism in your heart, ye commit sin. And that's pretty serious. Racism is outside of God's moral standard. Passing judgment on persons simply by their looks. Is not right. And may I clarify, it is more, is it my or human's judgment? As I look at that person coming into church, as I look at these perceived problems, as I look at some of the things I just mentioned, is it my judgment or is it God's judgment? We have Jesus' teaching that we can hold ourselves and each other to. That certain standard of living that Jesus has given us. We can hold each other to that. We can hold ourselves to that. But some of these other things are simply man-made levels. And we are taking the place of God. We must bring all of mankind under Christ's standards, not our own. And we will find ourselves in need of a Savior, just like everyone else. And you know, there's that saying that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. And when you start to consider loving your neighbor as yourself, and you start to consider the feelings of others, and you can start to consider what you might say or what I might say about other people, suddenly I realize that I wouldn't want them talking about that. I wouldn't want them talking that way about me, so why should I about them? At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. As I thought of racism and the definition, I always thought it was a problem in the world. I mentioned that before. We want to hold ourselves on a higher plane than certain people. Or perhaps in our minds there are people that are higher than us. No matter which direction we take it, we need to realize that we're all in need of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ commanded us. It's not just an option. It's not just something that we can do if we want to. But Jesus commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. And even if I think, you're going to have to follow me through because this is kind of one of those things that are hard to follow. Even if I think that he thinks he is somebody important, it doesn't make a difference. And that's something hard for me to get a hold of. Sometimes when I feel like somebody is lifting themselves up, that somehow that justifies me to treat them differently. And it can be difficult to get a hold of that. It can be very difficult to love your neighbor as yourself. But as we draw nigh to Christ and put our focus on him, things will level out. I ran across a quote. Maybe some of you have heard this before. And I just ran across it this morning. It kind of jumped out at me because of the message. But I think it was a quote by Socrates. Strong minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And weak minds discuss people. And I thought about that for a while this morning. And I don't know, as Socrates made that statement, I don't know if he believed that weak-minded people always stayed at one place. But I believe it is written in Scripture that we are to feed on the meat of the Word of God. And when I find myself only discussing people and problems, I have a weak mind. I don't need to stay there. Jesus Christ has given me the power. He has given me the book to rise above that, to build a strong mind, and to go beyond and not just discuss ideas. He was a philosopher. But we can go on to discuss something much deeper than just ideas. Like was brought out in our Sunday school this morning, it takes choice. The easy route is to let our weak minds to just stay weak, because it takes effort. It takes dedication. It takes work to develop a strong mind, to crucify self and to get rid of our old thoughts and ideas. I'd just like to close here once again with verse 4 out of the NIV. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Let's be a people. As we go in and out of this community, we can be a tremendous testimony by loving our neighbors and by treating them as we treat ourselves. Many times I've heard people say it is so depressing following the news. We don't have to follow the news as in presenting that and discussing that with our neighbors. We can show them a better way. God has given us the word, and we can be a light and encouragement to those around us, but it takes us choosing that. Let's kneel for prayer.